Thank you for choosing to listen to this message from our pastor brother Rob Coons. Let us enter now with the saints of God into a service already in progress.
Lay down your burden, I will carry you. I will carry you, my child, lay down your burden, I will carry you, I will carry you, my child, 'cause I can walk on water, calm a restless sea, I've done a thousand things you've never done. And I'm really watching while you struggle on your own. Call my name, Malcolm. Lay down your burden. I will carry you. I will carry you, my child, lay down your burden. I will carry you. I will carry you, my child, I give vision to the blind, I can raise the dead, I've seen the darker side of hell and I returned, I've seen those sleepless nights and count every tear you cried, some lessons hurt to learn. Lay down your burden, I will carry you, I will carry you, my child, lay down your burden, I will carry you, my child, I will carry you, my child.
You know, sometimes, brothers and sisters, I travel a bit. I've been in many, many, many different churches in many different parts of the United States and in many different lands and countries. Haven't been what I'd call a world traveler, but I've been out and about enough to learn some things about spirits. As I've shared with a man when he was telling me how to deal with a race of people and offered me even somewhat, I could say, an exhortation because of his time with this race of people, that he was more qualified to make decisions or judgments on how to deal with this particular race of people. And I remember my plight. I'm not saying this in the way to maybe make someone look weak or to slander one, but I'm saying these things to speak about the mind of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I can truly say that dealing with spirits, I find that the perplexities that many of the Jews walked in were perplexities that were brought forth by one and the very same spirit that I deal with and that you deal with. I find that the many victories that the Jewish people, speaking of the spiritual elect, I find that the victories and the powers that they walked in, when I read the things, that it's all by one and the same spirit, the Spirit of God. So many times we look in the wrong places for understanding, for wisdom, for help, for strength. We look in the wrong places. I know that God knows all things. I know God has the answers for all things, all problems, has the solutions, has the remedies, has the antidotes for all things. And if I was going to preach tonight or confess tonight, I've missed the Lord before. Maybe you can't say that. Maybe you cannot say that you've ever missed the Lord, where I've broke fellowship with a minister that basically told me that he never has. That was a good reason for me to break fellowship with him. I told him, I said, "You're the first man of God that I've ever met that could carry that kind of a testimony. I know how I could speak by the Spirit of God. I could say that I cannot sin. After I was truly born of God, that I cannot. And you can say, well, Brother Rob, I've known that you've made some terrible mistakes. Hey, I'll be the first. You want me to write you a book about them? I pretty much freely speak about them, not to give strength to the enemy, but I thank God that these things have not been imputed to me as sin. I think I've taken adequate time to teach you the difference between willful sin and the sin of the Adamic nature of Adam. The Bible said there's a sin that's unto death, not to even pray for that. And there's another one that isn't. And I know some don't understand that. Sometimes we think there's different degrees of sin. No, all sin is death. You know, sometimes we think, well, you know, it's okay to have a little white lie. You know, I mean, God, you know, he's going to wink on it just a little bit if I lie just a little bit. Because if I don't lie, I'm not going to get the loan I want. If I don't lie, I'm not going to be able to get this job done. If I don't lie, it's going to cost me money. God will wink on that. No, the Bible says this, that all liars shall have their part in the lake of fire. So see, I started speaking about spirits. The Bible says Satan is the father of all lies. So what we have to do is find out why we lie. We will utilize lying because we think we get advantage and gains, maybe stay out of complications, stay out of trouble or problems. So we think, you know what? Instead of facing up to this, we'll lie. What spirit made you lie? I learned something as a child I've shared with you many times. But I found out my mother, boy, she didn't like to be lied to. She was easy to lie to, though. She was easy to lie to, but she didn't like to be lied to. When she caught you lying, you was in trouble. But she was easy to lie to because my mother had the kind of heart that always wanted to believe her kid. Always wanted to believe her own children. And man, me and my brothers, boy, we understood that and knew that. Come in different times, different things. We lied. Oh boy, it worked. No, it doesn't work. What worked is Satan saw that we made gains in sin. And we would start captivating these kind of sinful things in our life as children. Sometimes daddy's a businessman. Mama answers the phone, puts the phone down and says, hey honey, it's for you. Tell him I'm not home. What he should have said, hey, I'm teaching my son to be a liar. I'm teaching my daughter to be a liar. That's not the thing to do. You know, you say, I'm not taking no calls right now. Take a message for me and find out the urgency of the phone call. I'm not taking calls right now. You don't lie. We have to be very careful, brothers and sisters, of what we're projecting and what we're doing. What about if you're working with somebody and they're watching you and your actions and your lifestyle and your vocabulary and the wording and the things you do, and all of a sudden God burdens you in your heart to help them or to help another. And then all of a sudden, because they've observed your life, because they've observed your actions, they cannot receive from you and they cannot hear you. You see, what are we speaking about, brothers and sisters? We're speaking about spirits. And there's a lot of times that we ourselves are ignorant to the fact of the authority and the power of the spirit world and the things that are set in motion by the spirit world. First and utmost, I would have to say here tonight, do you believe in spirits? If you don't believe in spirits, you're in a very serious and a very critical state of thought and state of mind. Because if we would read this Bible, brothers and sisters, we are going to find that when we get into understanding and doctrine, that everything has to do with spirit and the spirit world. The thing is your natural world is something that you see. Your eyes right here record through the nerves in the eyes. It records vibration. That's how your eyes see. Everything, brothers and sisters, has vibration. Everything. Everything. That wall right there, you could take it. You could set it aside over here and say, well, it was made of things of this earth. It was made of the things out of this earth, and some of the things that was in this earth had life. But that wall's dead now. There couldn't be no vibrations in it. But if you take it down and break it down and put it through your microscope, you will find that that wall has made up of atoms. And there's protons, neutrons, and electrons, I believe. I'm not a science teacher. But those things are alive, and they're moving, and they're going around vibrations. Your eyes record Different colors put out different vibrations. 22 nerves pick up these different vibrations and it sends a signal to your head. And you say, who cares? I didn't come to here to find out how my eyes work. I'm going to teach you about another eye that records also. I'm sure you would be the same one that sat in the presence of the Lord Jesus when he was using the example of farming and sowing seed into the ground and about the condition of the soil and about birds of the air coming and eating away the seed and be sitting in your same carnal concepts of thought saying, who cares? I don't care about that. But see, Jesus wasn't trying to teach them, brothers and sisters, how to be farmers, even though he was concerned for their abilities to farm. He was trying to teach them a revelation, is what he was trying to do. So we find that these eyes record vibration. What you see with your eyes is vibration. What you hear with your ears is vibration. Your ears pick up a vibration and it records and sends something to your mind, and this mind converts it to some kind of a concept of what you call a thought, that you can analyze it, check it out, see what it is. Your eyes are recording and they're bringing in information, and all this stuff is being recorded and analyzed and put in. But brothers and sisters, the Bible says, speaking about this word of God, that it has to be spiritually discerned. And the thing is that we try to take the same concepts of natural life and we try to take the vibrations and say, I'm listening to the preacher. I hear the word of God. I see and I understand and comprehend the heights, depths, widths, and lengths of God's word. But you see, it doesn't come that way. That's why Jesus himself said, you have ears, but you don't hear. They were hearing with the vibrations of the natural utterances that was coming forth from his voice. And they were seeing him, but he told them, you do not see. When we get into the things of the Spirit, the first man Adam was a living soul, and the second man Adam, the Bible says, was what? A quickening spirit. If you had ever been in the Spirit on the Lord's Day, you would find that then when you found yourself that entered into the quickening by the Spirit of God, that you would find that things were so much faster than what it is in this dimension. There's people that have tapped into that in points of life. Science has their explanations for it. But people have been in tragic car accidents, and they say that it went into slow motion. Many people, hundreds of people. I was going over 80 miles an hour one time in a go-kart and flipped it end over end three times. And I remember it seemed like an eternity it took me to slide down the blacktop runway at the airport before I came to a stop. Long ways. Slid. And I slid. And I slid some more. I lost some hide and a little more hide. And then I slid some more. I remember that went into like a slow motion. I could remember everything. Another time I was in an automobile wreck. We rolled a car off an overpass four times, they say. I remember the first one. And it was slow. I remember watching the glass. The grass was about this long on the side of the highway. And I remember as we rolled over, it just looked like it was so slow as I watched the glass compress the grass in the field as we were rolling the car and I was looking. And I remember as it was getting closer and closer looking at it. And that's all I remember as I busted my head. The next thing I remember is blood all over my shirt and everything. But I remember it was very slow. What happened, Brother Rob? Did you enter into a quickening realm that it made this natural world so slow? People say they have these experiences of life and the life hereafter. In these near-death experiences, some say they've seen angels. Some say they found themselves in the presence of a light. My mother being a heathen woman, they say she died on an operating table. I could just go by reports. I was young. I was 8 years old. My father happened to have a preacher. They say he was a Pentecostal preacher that worked for him. I think as a pilot or an aircraft mechanic. And went down and prayed for her at the hospital. And I believe was praying for her. But I could tell you what she told me. She said she was falling in a black, dark hole. And she said that all she could think about was she was looking at a light. And she said she saw a brightness of light and she knew that she had to get back to the light. And she said she was digging and clawing at this pit as she was falling down in it and looking up towards the light, that she was desperately digging and clawing and grabbing, trying to get back to the light. And then she said she come out of it and this man was praying for her and she was in the brightness of the operating room while the lights were still bright. I could just share the report as she gave it, brothers and sisters. You say, is it accurate? I don't know. My mother wasn't one to puff things up or fluff things up or to be spiritual or religious. She didn't understand it. But I understand it. I understand it perfectly well. And I perceive it. There's many times things happening in the mind, in the thoughts. But there is a spirit world, brothers and sisters, that is more active and more busy than this world that you're living in. The Bible says that we're encamped around by a great cloud of witnesses. You say, what does that mean? Brothers and sisters, if you would ever look into the spirit world and see, you would find that this world right here is a boring world. It's not all that active. Just as it might have seemed like an exciting moment while we was rolling a car over and over, but it seemed like slow motion to the spirit world. Things are so much different in the spiritual world. The Bible says that we need to walk by the Spirit, be led by the Spirit. The Bible says we need to pray in the Spirit with utterances that aren't even comprehended or understood. It says that our mind right here will be fruitless, so to speak. It's not doing anything for this carnal mind. But the Bible said we're building up our strength in the Holy Ghost. We're building up our innermost being and our innermost strength. When we would believe and understand or start thinking about this spiritual world, there's only one way to enter into it, and it takes a death. But then yet we find that many didn't partake of death, when I speak of death, like you think of death. Enoch, the seventh from Adam, walked with God, and he pleased God, and had faith, and he was not. He didn't die. He bypassed death. The thing is what many people don't understand is that there's some that have died twice, and they're still yet alive. Some twice dead. Plucked up by the roots. I'm just telling you what the Bible says. Brothers and sisters, let me say this to you about this word right here. This word is alive. This word is true. It doesn't matter what you perceive. It doesn't matter what you understand. It doesn't matter how you interpret. My Bible teaches that this is not for private interpretation. And if you say you've got your own private interpretation and I could have my own private interpretation and we could go on. But you see, brothers and sisters, we got to come to one thing, to know that we see eye to eye. We don't pierce each other through, nor do we break rank. That's for we could be partakers of this spirit world. Now the thing is so many times that we try to comprehend this Bible and feel like we've got an understanding through the intellectual mind of man. Through the mind of college, the mind of study. When the Lord Jesus exhorted his brethren in the Word, in the Scriptures, you know that, and we find the exhortations, we're not even supposed to prepare before we go, but we stay in meditation before the Lord day and night. But as we go forth, we're not even supposed to prepare. But I find these ministers, and they have their books, and they've got their notes, and they got this and that. And I'm not against it. There's a time in teaching. Even when I was teaching the minister seminar, I put some things down and some thoughts. I never did really get to use them, but I made an effort, you know, for I could have some things down, because I had an agenda and a structure, because I was going there to teach. I wasn't going there to win souls in a perspective. I was supposed to be dealing with ministers. But I found that some of them needed doctrine and needed to be saved. Amen. Let's continue thoughts for a moment about spirits. If the Bible commands us to walk in the Spirit, we should understand that. If the Bible commands us not to walk in the flesh, and we know that we're born in the flesh and that we are flesh, and we know that our mind is flesh, our thoughts are flesh, and our thoughts are carnal, and our thoughts are enmity with God according to this word, then this is what we've done. We've orchestrated our life through the motivations, the sensations, the pleasures of flesh. Brothers and sisters, we make more decisions from fleshly necessities than we do from spiritual desires. You've heard me say before from the sacred desk here, you know, I'm tired. What do? You take your flesh and you lay it down. It's hungry. You know, you talk about the serpent growling. You know, what do? You feed it. I was talking about fasting to a young man, and he said, I try it once in a while. He goes, you know, I just fast until that thing starts growling and bothering me so bad it hinders my thinking. I can't even think about God, so I go feed it to shut the devil up. That's what he said. Some of you should say amen. Man, I know how to shut that devil up, boy. When he's hungry, feed him. Oh, God, have mercy. I say this so often. Carnal mind is enmity with God. The carnal mind is death. The Bible said man's thoughts, man's ways are contrary to God's ways. So if all these things are true in this Bible, so we have God's ways and man's ways. We have God's thoughts and man's thoughts. We have all of these things, and we find that there is a continual enmity, warfare, travail between these two spirits and two worlds. They're like those magnets. You can't put them together. When you all played with magnets, I'm sure, but you try to put them together, they will not come together. I mean, it just isn't going to happen. But then you turn them around the other way and pull, they pull together. Maybe there's a revelation in that. Maybe we can't come together with God, but if we would turn around into the mind of Christ, into the Spirit, then we find a unity and a connection. But that's the way the spirit world is. And here's where we go wrong, brothers and sisters, is what we do in natural concept of life. We want to make this natural world and we want to take it and make it religious for we could feel like it's of God. And it's not. And you say, well, Brother Rob, I've heard you teach on sanctification. I heard you teach on transformation. What is that? What is sanctification and transformation? It is taking what people can see through the natural eye of vibration and see beyond the veil, brothers and sisters, of the invisible things and see God. This is how Jesus answered when he said to Philip, how can you say you have not seen the Father? The Father's invisible. My Bible teaches us that very clear. It says that the Father's invisible, that no man has seen him. When we speak of the Father, we speak of the omniscient, omnipresent, all power. I was talking with some ministers the other day that believe that God's three persons. You see, they're natural-minded, carnal-minded, and these men love God. I really know that these men have really had an experience with God, and I know that they have His Spirit. And even though they got a false doctrine of God's three persons. And this is what I asked this brother, it was yesterday. I said, well, brother, let me ask you a question. The Bible says that heaven is His throne. Because see, sometimes they want to bring the things literally. They say, well, I know the Bible says that I saw, you know, when Stephen was being stoned, he looked up into heaven and he said, I see Jesus standing at the right hand of the Father. So I know that if Jesus was standing at the right hand of the Father, that there has to be two persons. You see, that's carnal. Now, if Jesus is standing with me, and Jesus is... How tall was he? I don't know. Let's just hypothetically say he was 6 foot tall. Well, if heaven is his Father's throne, and the earth is his footstool, I could say that I would guess that the Father's feet, if he's going to set him on this earth as a footstool, would probably have to be 75 miles tall. Maybe 750 miles tall. So when he saw Jesus standing at the right hand of his Father, I wonder why he didn't say, I see a little teeny thing. I don't know what it is, but I'm looking a long ways up there. But see, I'm not mocking the Word of God. I'm challenging you in the way you think. And where was this heaven that Stephen saw when he was being stoned to death? And where was this heaven at? So I asked one of these ministers the other day about the first, second, and third heaven. And he goes, well, let me explain it to you, brother. And I said, man, here I am. Praise God, man, I'm ready. And he says, this air that you breathe right here has to do with the first heaven. When you go out here right outside the oxygen and the air of this world and you get out here into the realms of the space and stuff, he goes, that has to do with the second heaven. And then when you get beyond that, it has to do with the third heaven, and that's where God is. And I said, brother, you got a good understanding because you're accurate. But he's accurate in allegories. That is an allegoric thing, brothers and sisters. It's an allegory to comprehend a spiritual revelation. It is an allegory for types and shadows. The sun is an allegory as the Son of God. The moon is an allegory for the Lord Jesus to reflect the things of God. Said, sing the moon, you know, covered his blood and on fire. Said it was the wrath of God coming down. These things are going to happen to confirm the word. But you see, brothers and sisters, there's a time that we speak about allegories. There's a time about we speak about by the Spirit of God. So is God way out there somewhere? Is there a place, a planet called heaven that this throne is on? Is there a place out there that Jesus is wearing his nail bags, building you and me a mansion? You see, this is stuff that they teach in churches. I know what the Bible said. He said, I go to prepare you a place. And he talks about mansions. Yes. But see, we get carnal in our concepts of thought. You know, man, I know he's building me one. Oh, man, I hope they put a Tempur-Pedic mattress in my mansion. And I hope he put a gas stove in my kitchen, too. You see, listen, our concepts are carnal. You know, we go through religion, and we go through what we call Christianity. And we got a little fat, naked baby running around with a violin and a diaper, man, floating around with wings up there and go, oh, I can't wait to get to heaven. I mean, come on. I mean, if that's what heaven is, let's just keep this first heaven, you know, with the trees and, you know, the bugs and the ticks and the chiggers and the poison oak and stuff. Because it really don't turn me on any, if you want to use pardon the expression, to, you know, to think about a naked baby floating around with a diaper on playing a violin. It don't do much for me. But see, people don't have the concepts in their carnal mind of what God is and what the Spirit of God is and what heaven truly is. When Jesus was right here walking on this earth and he went up upon the mountain, we find him there and he was transfigured before them. And where was he seen at? What's the Bible say? Somebody tell me. It's in heaven. But what did the scriptures say? We said glory. Is that correct? Now, there might be a place in the scriptures that said heaven. And I'm not disputing with you. I'm just saying. But glory. So what is the difference between glory and heaven? If God's in glory and then we say in heaven. So we find an interchanging of a word. Yes. But yes, he was in heaven. So were these brethren that witnessed this? That when he told them to build a tabernacle, and they were going to build three. But he said, oh no, one. Because there wasn't three gods. There was one God. It says right there in that particular passage of scripture, it was Jesus only to build one. Well, do you believe in the Father, Word, and the Holy Ghost? Do you believe in the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost? Sure I do. I teach it. I preach it. I pray all the time. Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done. I pray, Father, help me. In the name of the Lord Jesus, help me. But brothers and sisters, let's start getting some thoughts together and some things. So now we say, we believe the Bible teaches us that God is everywhere. The highest height, the deepest depth. He's hearing me pray. He's hearing me speak. He's hearing you pray and hearing you speak. And he's hearing the brother over in the Philippines and another one over in Africa and another one over in India. All at the same time. Now how are you going to put that in a person? And you say, we put him in Jesus. And I say, yes, we put him in the fullness of the Godhead bodily. There's a reason it said bodily there. There is a reason it says that, brothers and sisters. And the reason that it says that is because that is the concept of understanding of God manifesting in a bodily perspective. And a man said to me the other day, he said, well, brother, he said, if Jesus is God, we should not be questioning that because the Bible said Emmanuel, God with us. We say God the Father. God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost. These three are one. That's what the Bible says. But so we say, well, no, they're three persons. No, we can't say that. Why am I teaching you this? Because brothers and sisters, you are going to find yourself dealing with these kind of issues because the majority of the religious realm believes in a three-person God. And it violates the scriptures in so numerous and so many places. I was a evangelist and a youth pastor in churches and I taught that doctrine because that's what I was taught. But I never can find them go to the Bible with that doctrine. They got it from seminary and theological institutions. The study of God. But they never can take me to the scriptures. I know the scriptures. The Bible says Father, Word, and Holy Ghost. These three are one. I know the scriptures. Again, when we go over in the book of Revelations and it said that they saw the Lamb that was slain before the world and he was before the throne. And it said he took a book out of the hand of the Father. So they say they're got to be a person. The Father's got to be a person. Because if they took this book out of his hand, then he has to be a person. You see, brothers and sisters, there is a time. I believe in the literal interpretation of God's word. But do you think at any given time when you see Jesus walking among men that he's going to be a lamb with a little wiggly tail? Oh, you're not going to take that literal. Now, wait a minute, brother. Do you think at any given time that you're going to feel his breath on your face because he is the line of the tribe of Judah? And then yet we find other scriptures that expresses Satan as a roaring lion seeking who he could devour. So you see, brothers and sisters, I believe in literally the word of God. And there are some things that are spoke allegorically. If Brother Eddie right here was working for Brother Dale, and Brother Dale puts a lot of pressure on Brother Ed to carry his business and work his business, and Brother Dale's out of town, he's working off over here in another land or another town or off somewhere, but Ed's got everything under control, he's got everything in order, he's got the employees everywhere they need to be, he's making sure they're paid while Dale's gone, and he's making sure everything's working. And Brother Dale could say, you know, Brother Ed's my right-hand man. What does that mean? a right-hand man. You see, it means they're one in the same. They're in the same mind. They're in authority, and there's authority in them. All power and all authority has been given to Jesus. He's at the right hand of the Spirit. Now, if we're going to have this God that is everywhere, every given moment of time, you cannot put that Spirit of God into a body in the perspective that it's omnipresent. But he is all authority and all power in that body, because that body came for humanity, that we could comprehend this invisible God. And it came in him without measure. To you it came in measure. And we're pressing for the perfect, the mark of the high calling, that perfect man Christ Jesus is what we're pressing for. You've heard me say this in times past, trying to understand God and the Godhead. So one preacher was explaining the three-person God, and he said the person of the Holy Ghost was a green mist, and it was floating around the throne. Let me tell you something, not mocking the things of God. I've seen the Spirit of God move in such a way that it can cloud the air. You might not see it. It's like a cloud. And God does, brothers and sisters, He can do some peculiar things to your vision, to your eyesight. And I've had the Lord take me in the Spirit. And the things that I saw with these natural eyes, or was seen with these eyes, the walls, the roof, the lights, the buildings and stuff, they've gone away. Where I've still got my eyes open and I'm looking, and all of a sudden the walls are gone. The roof is gone. The buildings are gone. Everything's gone. And look into and saw into the spiritual dimension. So I'm not mocking the thing, but when people try to bring their definition of God through carnal concepts of human mind and human intellect, you're going to get some ignorant answers. When you say that your God is three persons, you're simply saying that you're not spiritual with revelation, thoughts, and mind. Because when you have three persons, you can get all kinds of allegory of thought and say, well, you know, when the man and woman marry, they become one in the flesh. So that's what the Bible said. So my wife and I are one person. But see, Paul said, I show you a mystery. It's a secret. A mystery is a secret. He said, I show you a mystery. When the man and woman marry, they become one in the flesh. And I brought that out to you, why he said flesh. Because this flesh right here is what's got to become married unto that inner quickening to become oneness. And I bring this flesh through obedience and suffering into obedience to the headship of Christ. And when I bring it one with him through transformation. I transform this mind, this body, my actions and everything into righteousness and holiness, because that's what the Spirit is. Now the thing is there is a redeeming of this body. This body will be redeemed. It already has been redeemed, but we'll witness the redemption of this body. There's so much that could be said here, brothers and sisters. I'm doing everything in my ability to talk slow and simplicity. I don't expect you tonight to walk out of this church and say, well, you know, I was Trinity, now I'm whatever. You know, I don't know what you call me. These guys call me oneness. They think I'm a oneness. And I said, well, this is the way oneness think. I'm not a oneness. I'm not a two-ness, nor a three-ness. You have no Bible. You get in your Bible, go get your concordance, go pray, go get your preachers, go get your pastors, go get your priests, go to the Bible college, go to seminaries, go search, do whatever you got to do. But you're not going to show me the word Trinity in your Bible. So how can you tell me that it's necessary for me to believe in a word, Trinity, when it's not even a biblical word? I used to preach that. Oh, Brother Rob, man, what must I do to be saved?
Oh, you must believe in the Trinity.
Has anybody ever heard that? Here's some Baptists sitting right here in the front row. Did you ever hear that when you was in the Baptist circles? You did? It's hard for me to think there's something necessary for me to have salvation when it's not in the Scriptures or in the Word. If it was necessary for me to have something to be considered a Christian or to be born again, I think that it would be in the Scriptures and in the Word that I could read it. I mean, that's pretty simple to me. I mean, if I have to believe in the Trinity to be saved. Getting away from that thought for a second here. I'm a teacher. This is my calling. I'm called to teach and instruct. I've got plenty of scriptures I could take you to tonight. I know I haven't read yet. It's your obligation to get in the Word and search and look. Dig and see if you be in the faith. I teach Father, Word, and Holy Ghost because that's what my Bible teaches. I teach that these three are one. You say, well, how do you get three of something and make it one? You know, and you're sitting here lightly esteeming because some people say there's three-person God. You know, they say, Well, you know, we must believe in the Holy Trinity, and that's God in three persons. So you're saying that I'm wrong because I believe in a three-person God, but you're telling me that you believe in these three are one. You see, we're close, brothers and sisters. This is how close it is. And many times the thing that puts people apart from one another are close. Satan is a deceiver. The Bible said the father of all lies. And he's not going to come with something that is so far out there, it's going to be close. That's how you deceive. If I'm going to give you some counterfeit money, it better look real close to what real money looks like, or it's not going to work for you. To say God is three persons is close. But if I am going to teach you that God is three persons, then I'm going to have to teach you that you're three persons. So that means that the day that you take your last breath on this earth and your spirit left this body here, and this body goes back to corruption and back to the dust of the elements of this earth, that one day you're going to get that body back and it's going to be a person. But when you left here in your spirit and went back to the Father, that your spirit got another body. And your spirit is walking around with another body, and then you're going to get this other body, and then pretty soon you're going to be three people walking around heaven. It's not right. Now, wait a minute. He said that this isn't right. Now, if that's not the way it is and that isn't right, then how come we put God in three bodies? If my spirit was leaping for joy before this world ever was, and Jesus even said that, give me this joy, I believe is how he expressed it, that I had with you before this world was. You know, and see, what is it? How does the spirit manifest itself? Now, if you would think on that for a moment, it'll help you to understand why there's a body. You see, brothers and sisters, there is spirits all around about us. When two or three of us came into this church today, in the name of the Lord Jesus, my Bible says that he's here. Is he here, brothers and sisters, in a personification of a body? Now see, there's some fine lines right here because we are the body of Christ. And I could say yes, but see, we've switched to another dimension. But we're speaking now in the dimension of spirit. If he is here with us and you keep saying that God the Father person, God the Son person, God the Holy Ghost person, and I say that the Father's here, and if he's not here, then the word of God is a lie. But he said, if we come in the name, did anybody in here come in the name of the Lord tonight? Brother Ed did. Brother Andy did. Okay, well, there's three of us, so we got the scriptures now, and I believe some of you others did also. So I'm going to say, I can declare unto you, thus saith the Lord, that he is here, and he is with us. Where's he at? I don't see him. Well, wait a minute. But he's a person. He's a person. See, are we going to just walk around in some make-believe ignorance, brothers and sisters? Or are we going to stay with the Word of God? Let's stay with the Word. So if we could establish it that the Word of God is true and let every man be a liar, that's what the Bible says, that this Word be true and every man be a liar. This concept of the three-person God came from carnality because they can't understand spiritual things. The Bible said these things have to be spiritually discerned. It's hard to preach revelation, brothers and sisters, into humanistic carnal conception because it can't happen that way. I listened to Billy Graham try to explain the Godhead, and the more he talked, the more he balled things up, and he just stopped and said, well, we'll never understand this on this side. One of the greatest evangelists of all time. I wish you had the revelation of the Lord Jesus because I could tell you. If I spoke and told you exactly the truth according to the scriptures of Billy Graham's doctrine and understanding and the things that he's done that has perverted the scriptures and the word of God. Now you can get mad at me and say I'm speaking disrespectful of a great man of God, but let me tell you what the brother teaches, and if you want me to bring the proof to you of what he teaches that's contrary to the scriptures, then you'll have to work that out. He wrote a book about angels, and then he turns around in his latter part of life and said he doesn't even know if he believes in angels. If we don't believe in angels, brothers and sisters, we better start getting rid of some of our Bible. He doesn't know if it's necessary to have to believe in a virgin birth. That doctrine works real good day because people are believing that Jesus had children and a bunch of stuff, so he don't know if it's necessary to believe in a virgin birth. That violates the Word of God and the Scriptures. I'm not here to assassinate a man. I'm here to keep us in doctrine, brothers and sisters, because the world is following after false prophets. Yes, he wouldn't even look at me and give me the time of day because he's a big, mighty, powerful man. Been in meetings with millions of people before. You know, and I'm some little guy over here in North Carolina, thus us and us. And see, this is the way people weigh things out. And Jesus had 12, he thought, but only really had 11. One was the devil. I know it offends people when you speak like this, but I'm just speaking about what a man teaches and the way he's taught people. The Bible said they surpass land and sea and make twofold more the child of hell, and he surpassed land and sea. And he teach people, hey, you say this prayer and you repeat this prayer with me, you're saved, and go on. That's dangerous. We cannot take a scripture out of the Bible and just completely go on with scripture. The Bible says line upon line, precept upon precept. I could take some scriptures out of here, brothers and sisters, and take one scripture and run around the world and pull thousands of people together and on one scripture reference and get them to pray this and tell them that they're saved and that they're born again. Guess what? Many people have been truly born again in Billy Graham's crusades. You know that? Because they went there, they heard about Jesus, they heard the word, and they prayed, and they got it. But still, that doesn't change the fact that some of his doctrines are dangerous. Does it make me smarter than him because I could sit up here and point out his errors? No. I'm sure that the man loves the Lord, and he's probably done some great exploits. But I'm still saying that you got to get out of carnality and get out of the pride and get out of thinking you're somebody and start esteeming Jesus in everything that you do. He's an heir. The brother's an heir. And when he started speaking about the Godhead, he was an heir. And he couldn't understand it nor explain it because he's an heir. And when he went to say that we will never understand that on this side, that's heir because my Bible said the wicked don't understand. My Bible said he gave us an unction from the Holy One to understand all things. Amen. And we have to pray for this. And they have to be spiritually discerned. You see, brothers and sisters, the Antichrist has made a big mark down through the portals of time. And the Bible says that there's many Antichrists among us. We need to understand this. Let me tell you, if Jesus himself would come and personify himself and walk among men right now in 2008 and walk into the churches of America, they would run him out. I'm telling you that. I'm telling you that's factual. I know for a fact they would run him out, which we know that won't happen. We know that he came with a whip and a correction and he ran the money changers out of the house of God, and that's what he would be doing again. It's come back around. It's just like it was in the time when Jesus walked the earth. It's come all the way around a full circle again. That's why we're at a change place right now in world history. Heavenly history is what I should be saying. But we're coming right around. We're rolling around because things have gone a full cycle. And this full cycle, brothers and sisters, if you could understand God and understand how he works, you would see and probably put fear in your heart and would probably get fear. And fear is the beginning of wisdom. When you don't have the fear of God and you walk around in lasciviousness without the fear of God, you have absolutely don't have wisdom. Because you'll have it when you have the fear of a living God. It doesn't matter, brothers and sisters, and I apologize if it sounds like I'm assassinating great spiritual leaders of this world. But brothers and sisters, there's only one great spiritual leader, and his name is Jesus. And if we deviate from his word one iota, the Bible again teaches us to let us be accursed. So what we better do is get rid of personality. The Bible says, put no confidence in the flesh. Put no confidence in Brother Rob. Put no confidence in Billy Graham's. Put no confidence in Jimmy Swaggart's. Put no confidence in these worldly, fleshly people. The only thing that you could put confidence in is in Christ. And the thing is if you would get in his word and comprehend his Bible and his word, then you will find him personified in this present day and hour in a many-membered body as that part of the Godhead of the Holy Ghost. So you say, well, if I'm part of the body of Christ and you're part of the body of Christ, and then we make a many-personed body, so then now we're back to God is many persons. And then you find fault because I believe that God is three persons. And now you believe that you're part of his body. You see, brothers and sisters, you are going to have a difficulty in your carnal concepts of God. God is spirit. You worship him in spirit and in truth. The spirit of God is invisible and no man is seen. And this is why when you think of the person of God, that's Jesus. That's not tough, is it? Now we got Jesus being the person of God. Dell has a spirit. We all have a spirit. And our spirit absent from the body's dead. So the body is dead without the spirit. So I cannot have life in my body. You know, it's like Dell goes, yoo-hoo, see you later, old Dilly. As the spirit leaves his body, he makes a face at it and goes, and the body's still dancing around, you know. Man, I tell you what, this is a good life, good world. Ain't that way, is it? Don't work that way, does it? What happens to the body? It's dead. You say, oh, that ain't what you teach, Brother Rob. Okay, you're right. But we have to differentiate death and sleep. If the Bible says that our forefathers went to sleep, so there's a difference. Well, it's just another word, you know, but we know what it really means. No, there's a difference between death and sleep. And the thing is because we've passed from death unto life, brothers and sisters, right now, and death has been conquered for we as the sons of God, we cannot die because we've already died. And if you put that body out there in a box, you're going to say, if you don't straighten up, it's like if Brother Dell, when he died, he owed Joe Cool over here in Augusta $100,000, so they're going to dig him up. Bring him to court, set him up there in a chair. Say, buddy, you owe $100,000. What are you going to do? If you don't pay the $100,000, we're going to kill you. And I could see him sitting there. Go ahead, kill me. You say, man, you're an ignorant preacher. But I come here to learn about God. Well, let me talk to you a little bit about God. I'm trying to use some illustrations that seem ignorant. The foolishness of preaching is sometimes salvation. That's what my Bible says. So we come to an understanding that his spirit leaves his body and the body's dead. We can't take it to court. We can't try it. We can't do anything because it's dead. But the spirit's not dead. It's alive. Now, you're coming to some revelation. These three are one. The Spirit, the Father, Jesus, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Now, how are we going to make these three one? Because he has the spirit in his body, in his person right there, and it's one down. I'll tell you what, I don't like myself, and I couldn't imagine having three of these guys to kill out. If I'm not three persons, Dale's not three persons, but we have a spirit and a soul and a body. So we have the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. The Father no man has seen. If he had a body, I think man would have seen him. I mean, that kind of makes sense to me. So then, the Spirit of the Father, we say Father, express sake, I could just say the Spirit. God is Spirit, the Father is Spirit. And he comes into the fullness with all power and all authority. And he comes in and personifies himself, brings this invisible spirit into a body that came and was birthed through a virgin birth for it wouldn't be defiled by the blood seed of mankind. And this spirit comes into this thing that it could bring the attributes, the actions to a manifestation. So now we got Jesus claiming and putting all glory back into the invisible world. The Father's invisible. Invisible powers, invisible thrones, invisible principalities. That's what my Bible says. So we're talking about, we started out talking tonight about spirits and the spirit world. The devil, when we think about him, he's a spirit also. This spirit isn't going around slicing throats and killing people and doing those things and raping and molesting and doing all that until it personifies itself in a body. So now we're talking about the spirit of the devil. He could work through me if I would yield my members to him. If you remember the scriptures that we read out on Wednesday night, it's very easy to find out about when we let Satan use us. When Satan takes control of our body, we read it very clear in the scriptures the other night. What he's doing with it. He's using it for all of his lustful desires, all of his pride and prestige, using it to magnify himself and to glorify himself. When a man is proud, when a man is arrogant, when a man is strong, when a man is keen and a man is all those things, it's Satan. Not hard to understand. So we understand that we have a body, soul, spirit. We understand the spirit leaves our body and the body's dead. And then we understand that this spirit comes back and redeems this body of corruption. It was sown in iniquity, raised. How was it raised? It was sown in corruption and raised what? Okay. So we know that this is going to be redeemed back by the spirit. And it's going to go through a change, a metamorphosis. A transformation, or we should say transfiguration. Right now it's in a transformation state by the renewing of our mind in the mind of Christ. And we transform this temporal, fleshly body of corruption. And we transform it that the glory of the invisible God and the spirit world could manifest right now in this present day and hour. That we could declare unto ye that now we are the sons of God. And we've transformed through obedience and putting that man down and mortifying him on a daily basis. Killing him out of the way. That he is gone and removed. That Christ could now live. And we bring alive Christ in the earth in this present day and hour. Because it's no longer us living but him living. And that gives the spirit of Christ a body to live and dwell in right now in this dimension, in this present day and hour. So we say a many-membered body because there's many of us that have one and the same spirit with him. As we differentiate Father, Word, and Holy Ghost, body, soul, and spirit, first, second, and third heaven, translation and transformation and transfiguration. As we're differentiating this to understand it and comprehend it, this is why sometimes we take on these little terminologies or these little explanations that won't fit. There's some things, brothers and sisters, that don't fit, no matter how you try to do it and where you try to do it. You get two women, they say, I love you, and she says, I love you too, and we love each other, but they're not going to reproduce. They cannot, they will not, it don't happen, it don't work, it don't fit. They cannot, it's impossible. So they could fall in love, they could say God made them this way, they could say all the junk and foolishness that they want, but they're still two filthy little perverts that cannot reproduce. Okay? It won't fit. Two men, you can get them together. Same thing. It's two little filthy queers, and they cannot reproduce. It don't happen. Now, when we get into the spiritual world, brothers and sisters, there's some things that have the same thing that have to fit. And there's some spiritual perversions that when we look at them, they don't fit. And Satan is the master of deception, and he can pervert our minds and our thoughts and our religion and our ideas and our ideologies and all those things. And we could go around and we think we know something, like the Bible says, we know nothing whatsoever at all. Brother Paul, the great, great brother, apostle, great man of God. When he come to the revelation of the Lord, he come to the understanding. He said, all of my learning is dumb. Because he came to the revelation. In other words, all of his concepts of what God was and who God is. He was out putting people to death thinking he was doing the Father a service. And the Bible said in the end times that they will put you to death thinking they're doing God a service. I brought that out to you the other night, that this death that they put you to in this day and hour is different than the death that they put Jesus to. Even though I say I've been crucified all the day long. Who put him out? I did. I killed that man. I mortify the deeds of the flesh daily. I done that. Brothers and sisters, it's important to understand things for we can get out of false understanding or familiar understandings or similar, or I should be saying spirits. Familiar spirits, similar spirits, and these things are close. But we got to pray that God would grant unto us the spirit of revelation that we could truly understand. And when you find false doctrine, you're going to find every unclean spirit, because it's going to be manifested to be made known. Colossians chapter 3 says, if ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Man, preacher, you did all that explanation tonight, and then you read the Bible to us, and it just proved that you're all wrong. Set your affections on things above, not on the things on the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. Where's Christ at? He's in God. So if I then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. But then yet, is he on the right hand of God or is he in God? Which one is correct here? Which one's right? Set your affections on things above, not things on the earth, for ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. Now here's what I'm saying. We're reading this Bible right here, and this Bible just told me that I'm dead, but my life is hid in God. So am I dead or am I alive in God? Is Christ in God or is he at God's right hand? Which one is it? We just read them both here. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. Okay, so now I'm hid with him. Where am I hid with him at? In glory. So then when he appears, I'm going to appear with him. So then we're going to go to your concepts of what this rapture is. So here I am in the earth, and pow, man, I'm with him, and pow, I'm back in the earth. I mean, isn't that the concepts of most people's rapture? Isn't that what it is? Oh, man, I'm here, I'm walking in the earth, praise God, everything's cool, and then all of a sudden, man, I just got sucked up like a big vacuum cleaner. Pow, man, there I am in the air with God. Hallelujah, praise God. Shot me back to the earth with him. Boy, that was wild, man, that was fast. You said it was quickening, Brother Rob. Man, it was like a big suck up and a big blow back down, man. Woo, that was something. I'm just mocking carnal concepts of God. I'm mocking your wealth because it's nothing in God. Your carnal concepts of God mean nothing whatsoever at all. You see, we have these carnal concepts, and then we start studying on them. We're studying on our carnal concepts. We're studying on our carnal thoughts. We're studying on the way we think it is. So you sit around and you think about, you meditate, and you think on your carnal thing instead of thinking on the things that said here, on the things above. You're thinking on the things below instead of the things above. And you've got your concepts of the way you think God is. When I was in that doctrine, you know, I'd be praying, Father, How you doing today? Man, I hope you had a wonderful day today. Oh, Father, thank you so much. You know, you've been so good to me. Bless me with all the nice things and good things, and you've blessed me with life. Thank you so much. But, hey, I don't want Jesus to sit over there feeling like he's alone, and I need to talk to him for a minute. So, hey, Father, we'll speak to you later. Hey, son, let me talk to you for a minute. Listen, I'm a preacher, and I love the Word, and I'm called in defense of the Word of God. I'm not mocking God's Word. I'm mocking carnality. I'm mocking the human mind. It will not understand God. And when we say God is three persons, we're being carnally ignorant, and we're trying to make this God into some kind of a carnal concept where we could say, man, bless God, I understand God. You don't understand nothing. Your ways are not pleasing to God. Everything about you God despises and doesn't like. So just reckon yourself to be dead and be crucified with Christ and start thanking him and asking him to open up our understanding, to open up our mind and get this human ideology and carnality out of our mind that we can start understanding God. Brothers and sisters, listen to me. I'm speaking to you, each and every one of you, because you're dealing with people, walking with people, fellowshipping with people all the time that don't have the mind of Christ and the revelation of the Lord. They don't understand God. I can open up my Bible right now and we can start flipping around. We can get into some scriptures here. I read some scriptures here that would confirm maybe the way you believe. I've talked about the scriptures that they use when they want to say, well, you're a oneness. But I preach more Trinity doctrine, but I'm saying that for expression's sake. When I say Trinity, I'm not saying a three-person God. I'm saying a God. I'm saying God the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. I have a body, soul, spirit. I'm one person. God the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, he was one person, and that was Jesus. The Spirit and the Holy Ghost. Some of your Bible theologian stuff say they are one and the same. I'm going to agree with them. They are one in the same. But they're two persons. They are one in the same, but we differentiate them differently. Now, I've spoke to you about this, is that the Spirit of the Father was not perceived, comprehended, understood by man. Because it's invisible. Man never seen it. Man never understood it. Man never comprehended it. But then this Spirit came and dwelled in the fullness in Jesus. Personification, the person of God manifested among men. Emmanuel, God with us, walking among men. But then yet, Jesus, when he spoke, he said, I make myself twain, both Lord and Christ. Both Son of Man and both Son of God. So now we got two again. Jesus said he was Son of Man, Son of God. There's two again. Now we got two persons again. But he was one. We watched him walk as one. We watched him go to the cross. We watched him do the things. He was one. But you see, it's because there was the Spirit of God dwelling in there. And it was the person, the man part, man could see and comprehend and understand. And he was using the man part to speak to man. And he was using the God part for the authority and the power and all power. So then the power of the Spirit was speaking to man. And Peter finally saw beyond the veil of human flesh and said, Thou art the Christ, you're the living Son of God. So now we're starting to understand something. He was two. So we're going to have to quit preaching that God is three persons. He's only two persons. Man, we're coming to Revelation. No. He made himself twain, both Lord and Christ. Now, how are you going to separate the Father and the Son now? So here's the Son, we say, walking among me. And I could turn you over to John 14. Philip says, Jesus, when are we going to see the Father? How can you say you have not seen the Father when I've been with you so long? Just as we read right here, he said, I and the Father are one. The Father is within me and I'm within the Father. You see, brother, this is not complicated. The invisible Spirit of God came and dwelled within the person of God, Jesus Christ. He's one person, not three. Okay, now. Well, then how come it said that he saw him at the right hand of the Father? How come it says he took the book out of the Father's hand and all of these kind of things? Okay. Now, when Jesus walked among men, he said he made himself twain, both Lord and Christ. There was still one person there. He prayed to the Father. The Bible said his prayers returned to where? To his own bosom. Okay, so where is the Father? Where is glory? Where's the kingdom of God at? The Bible says that the kingdom of God is within me. And Jesus, when he was here, he said, my kingdom is without observation. So what are you going to do with that? Because you're carnal, because you want to think like a person or think like a man. You know, you're going to have a mansion over there somewhere, him with his nail bags on and making you a house. And you're hoping he put pink on the walls instead of blue because you don't like blue. You see, you're carnal. This is the mansion right here.
This is the dwelling place of God. People are out digging around looking for the Ark of the Covenant. And they're out there digging around in Israel and digging under the ground and going under here and going over there. Man, all I got to do is come over to Sophia. I found it already. It's uncomplicated. I'm the Ark of the Covenant. I'm the dwelling place of God. Are you a Christian? Are you a child of God? Are you a son of God? Then God's dwelling within you. That's what my Bible teaches me. You know, I mean, even we're going to go over to our carnal concept Christians. You know, and they say, well, I have Jesus in my heart. Well, where's your heart at? Is that third planet somewhere?
Man, Jesus is in my heart. You took my heart out. It's way over there on Jupiter 9-5 times, you know.
I'll tell you, people are ignorant. There's some fellows over here, poor, you know, God help them. You know, but they went and put their Nike tennis shoes on, drank some stinking Kool-Aid, man, and they're going to meet some planet that's going by. It goes by every so many hundreds of years, and they're going to be with God. Carnal, you see? Carnal. If we could start really understanding God, His Spirit, no man has ever seen. If you're a man, you could see a person. So when the Spirit came and dwelled in Jesus, then they saw God. Because the body would not have had life in it except the Spirit dwell there. And when the Spirit left the body screamed. It said, what? My God, why hast thou forsaken me? What part was that? Oh, that was the second person yelling at the first person. No, it don't work that way. But that was the man crying out to God. Where was God dwelling in him? But when it pulled away to be absent from the body, it come death. And at that moment of pulling away, there was a scream out and he gave up the ghost. Why? Because the Spirit pulled away. And when it gave up the ghost, I can go into some revelation right here, but I'm going to refrain because you've got to have the mind of Christ, the spiritual mind of revelation. And because of you being a little baby, it would be considered meat and it would be not good. You just desire the sincere milk of the word. What I'm teaching tonight is sincere milk. This ain't no deep revelations, brothers, sisters. When you get into the mind of revelation, the mind of Christ, this is simplistic. This isn't far-fetched to me. It's like, God, I wish I could. It is so simplistic. But then yet, the devil man tries to blind our mind, sear our minds over with a hot iron. He tries to blind our eyes that we cannot see. The Bible said they have blind leaders of the blind, and they all fall into the ditch. And if you know what the ditch is, go read in your Bible. It's the great whore, the deep ditch. And what is that? The Catholic Church. And who are the daughters of the Catholic Church? The Protestant churches. Are you a Protestant, Brother Rob? I have come through the Protestant thing just like you came through the mother when you were born. But the thing is you need to be born again and have a God. And I came through that thing just like everybody else has come through that thing. But now we are the sons of God. So you're saying that we were birthed through a whore? I said I wasn't going to go there. Was we? What is your flesh? If all flesh has corrupted its way. You know, there's a lot of things to understand. And what part was cleansed? What was washed? What was regenerated? What was made pure? What was made whole? What went before the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords? What entered into the secret chambers of the Most High God? You know, there's a lot of things, brothers and sisters. And we've got to differentiate. We've got to discern. The Word of God is real. It's alive. And we need to understand it. Verse 5 says, mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affections, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry, for which things sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience, in the way you also walked sometime when you lived in them. But now ye also put off all these, anger, wrath, malice, blaspheming, filthy communications out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing that you have put off the old man. That's the old man. This is not the new man. The new man does not do those things, speak those things, none of those things with his deeds. And have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. After the image? What image is that? So now, if I'm after the image, I guess if I'm three persons, I'm supposed to walk around with three heads. Sometimes, you know, we create a monster for a God because of foolishness. This is why people have trouble serving God, because they can't understand their God. I can understand my God. It's so simple. It's so clear. He's spirit, brothers and sisters. He's invisible. You ain't going to see him with your eyes. But wait a minute, Brother Rob. He said to Philip, how can you say you haven't seen me? And I could say to you, how can you say you have not seen or heard God when he's been here with you tonight and talking to you? See, I could say the same thing. You see, because we're differentiating dimensional projections of God, but he's still not three persons. You can dimensionalize it any way that you want. Brothers and sisters, pray.
Pray for God to grant unto you the spirit of revelation. Pray that God will open up your understanding and your eyes. Pray that God would grant unto you the spirit of knowledge, the spirit of wisdom. These are gifts that is for the church. Have you ever been taught that, brothers and sisters? Come on. We have the gift of knowledge, the gift of wisdom. Have you asked God for that? Have you asked God for the gift of faith? This is what he gives to us as the church. And see, if we're not walking with these gifts, then we're not understanding God. These things have to be spiritually discerned. You know that there's a gift of discernment. Have you prayed and said, God, grant unto me the gift of discernment? The first thing you're going to discern is that your mind is enemy of God. That's the first discernment that you're going to come to. This is why many people don't walk in discernment, because they reject the discernment of God. When God starts having you discern your own spirit and you find that you're the enemy of God and you don't want to hear that. Oh, but God loves me because my God is love and my God is kind. You know, my God loves me. You see, you don't have discernment. You have not walked in discernment. If God loves you, that means he knows you. Then how could he say that he never knew you? When you work iniquity, is that love? Come on, brothers and sisters. See, we've got carnal concepts. And most of our carnal concepts make our pure, virtuous, righteous. When he said, think on these things, he's righteous, virtuous, holy, he's godly. And that's some things we're supposed to think about. But when we come to carnal concepts, we make our God a filthy, dirty whoremonger. And you know I wouldn't speak about my God that way. I'm speaking about your God because you have an unknown God. An unknown God is one that will come and sup with you and reproduce after his image with you when you're filthy and dirty. That's not my God. My God's pure. He's righteous. He's holy. And you only can know him in holiness and godliness and virtue. So if you're not godly and holy and virtuous, then how could you say that he's your God? You make him unclean. I'm going to go to carnal concepts again for a thought. A man has a desire for a woman. So then he sees a woman walking up and down the street selling herself for a crack cocaine. I mean, that's pretty wretched, isn't it? So the woman's over here in the alley doing these ungodly acts. And then she goes around and gets a little dope. And then just a few minutes later, she's in these ungodly acts again of filth and perversion. You know, with whatever for a few bucks, filth and perversion and stuff. And you think, well, if there's no God and there's no eternal life and there's no this, and then a man goes over and he has a relation with her. I mean, what does that make the man? Come on, brothers and sisters. You know, we could look and get an image of this wretched, rank harlot. You know, and I could just see the ungodliness and uncleanness and the filth. Can you see it in your mind's eye? And then you think, man, I'm going to go have a relationship with this woman. Then all of a sudden I can see you with your bugs and your ooey goops and all the same slime. It's gross, ain't it? That's pigs and mankind and flesh and the lust of the flesh. So now if we got the gross concept of this harlot, and then you got the guy, man, here he is, the businessman. Got his three-piece suit on, man, and son, he's striding, man. Man, he's walking. Got the step down, I mean. Got his three-piece suit, boy, his shoes are shining, man. He's looking good, boy. And he comes walking through. But what do you think of this Mr. Slick when he's with the harlot? So here he is, arm in arm. Got her old nasty, foul breath all over him, and oh, we're getting too graphic. No, I'm just trying to bring you to a thought for a minute. But now all of a sudden, Mr. Three-Piece Suit, and he goes and wraps up with that. What did he just become? Nasty. All of a sudden, Mr. City Slick and Slick all of a sudden looks nasty and gross and ignorant. Okay, now you understand that. Does everybody understand that? Is everybody with me tonight? We had to go through this real grotesque detail to get to thought here. So now you see we had Mr. Slick, and all of a sudden now he's filthy because he wrapped himself up with that. That's why I made a statement that the way you believe about your God, are you listening? That you make him filthy. And that's why I know you don't know him. That's why he says, I never knew you, you worker of iniquity. Oh, but wait a minute, God. Hold on here 1 second. I was in church. I cast out devils for you. I prophesied in your name. Man, I've done this, I've done that. He still said, I never knew you. Because if he knew you, he would be filthy. Just like the man that went in relationship with that woman in the alley. He become filthy. So how does God know you? How does he know you? In righteousness and holiness. No man can know God except through holiness. That's what the Bible says. So we have to be washed and cleansed by the blood of the Lamb. And when we're washed and cleansed, then he could know us. And you say, but Brother Rob, the whole world was washed and cleansed by the blood of the Lamb. Amen. You're exactly right. The whole world was washed and cleansed. And if that's true, and it is true because the Bible says this, that he died for all. But what is the difference then that some are separated and departed and cast into eternal damnation? For one reason. What is it? They didn't have faith in what he done. They don't believe what he done. They got a carnal concept of God, and they think about God one way, but they've never taken faith to believe in the cleansing power of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because when you have faith to believe that he cleansed you and washed you and made you whole, guess what? That faith is going to do what? What does the Bible say? Faith is what? It's invisible. And what does faith, this invisible faith, do? What is it do, brothers and sisters? Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. It is going to become an evidence, brothers, of something that appears as a substance. And that means that when you have faith in a holy God, virtuous, righteous, holy God, then he is going to make you clean and righteous and whole, that you could enter into the secret chambers of the Most High God, like the Bible says, and enter into that relationship. And he is not unclean, because you cannot make him unclean. You know why? Because you've been cleansed by the blood of the Lamb. But when we walk in the things of this world and the ways of this world, then we stay in that uncleanness and we're not walking in faith, because faith sets us apart and delivers us. Amen. I can't close, so we're going to stop, because I've just now barely scratched the surface on some things that we could get into some revelation here. And I have to stop, because you could eat so much and eat a little bit here and eat a little bit there, but I could take you on right now, pick up right now where we just stopped, and I'm telling you, God knows my heart. I could just pick up right here and we could really get into some revelation. I've held back on some things, quite a few things, but we could really get into some mind of Christ and some revelation, and we could go on. Let's stand together. But I mean, we're at a point now that probably about midnight, when it rolls around, we could probably bring a couple things, beautiful things, out in Revelation. I love you and appreciate your time tonight. Let me say this, for you won't have to think this. It sure seemed like a lot of ignorance tonight from the sacred desk. You know, I mean, some of the seemed appeared to be so foolish, and some of these abase things that had to be said. Brothers and sisters, it's again the foolishness of preaching where people find salvation. But we have to go into some of these concepts for you could start knowing how to think about God. Because some of our carnal concepts that are enmity with God and are death, and sometimes we have these carnal concepts that we've got to bring them out to expose sometimes the way that we're thinking, for it could be torn down and ripped away from us and get it out of our hearts, out of our mind, and out of our thoughts. When I was young in the ministry and I was in some of these false doctrines, Antichrist doctrines, I loved God. A man told me when I came and I'd been preaching the gospel, I'd seen people delivered and healed and seen things that truly happened to people. Seen people come to God and get born again under my teachings and preaching and loving people. And a man came to me and said, your whole ministry was an abomination in the eyes of God. Brother Pike told him, he said, man, you should have never said that. If I went back to the Trinitarian doctrine that I come out of, it would be an abomination. But I love the Lord. When I come to this teaching of Revelation and I started getting my eyes open to it, I came to a concept that I wasn't even born again. I went to my pastor and I said, brother, I just read this book of yours right here. And I said, if I understand what you're saying in this book, I'm not even born again. You see, that was a beautiful place for me to come to. That was the beginning of life for me, even though I was walking in life. But this is what he said. He said, no, brother, because you've came to this is to be a proof that you always were born again. So there's people that are walking in Trinitarian doctrine just as I was, that are truly children of God. The thing is that when they come to this, they're going to hear. The Bible said they'll hear the truth and the truth will set them free. I went to a charismatic Catholic convention in Anaheim, California. And it was in a church. And they had all these charismatic Catholics, you know, that come to the revelation about being born again and being filled with the Holy Ghost and speaking in tongues. But let me tell you something that was wrong with their concept. They stayed in the perverted filth that God showed them with the gifts of God to come out of. The thing is I can't come to this revelation and go back into the things that I was at. Then it would be a curse to me and I would find myself being chastened by God. But I grew there. When I was in the Assemblies of God, I grew in the grace and knowledge of God. When I was with the Baptists, I heard about Jesus, the Savior, that I so needed. And I came to the knowledge of Jesus Christ being my Savior. So is the Baptist all bad? No.
I heard about Jesus there. It's an awesome thing. But I cannot go back to those elementary doctrines because I've grown in the grace and knowledge of God. If I went back to that, then I would be in error. And the Bible said sin is imputed only when there's a knowledge of it. And when I was walking and I had no knowledge that their three God doctrine was wrong, I had no knowledge that they didn't believe in the gifts of God was wrong. I didn't have a knowledge of that, so it was okay to be a Baptist. But when I grew up in the grace and knowledge of God, I found out that some of the things I was walking in was error through seminary schooling, and I had to separate from that. And brothers and sisters, as I've grown in the grace and knowledge of God, I've had to separate from people. I used to fellowship a man and preacher and work with him, support him, give him finances. God said, no more. You've come to an understanding now that the man is a pervert. Don't say that, Brother Rob! I'm going to have to throw my Bible away if I can't say that. Well, you know, you got to give a little bit of mercy and a little bit of grace. I'll give a little bit of mercy and grace when he's been dealt with by the Spirit of God and the man finds repentance. Then I'll say, praise God, brother. But when you continually to walk in it, then you're still a filthy pervert. I'm sorry. I just preached the gospel. But I don't think we have to be so strong. I know it's that weak vomit religion that brings people to hell. We need to make a stand. I'm sure that Jesus offended them when he called them snakes and vipers, called them pigs and slow bellies. That's the way Jesus talked. He's my example. Oh, he was so nice and kind when he went into the church of that day and hour, and he went in there with a whip, and he started whipping the whip, and man, he started running them out. He'd do the same thing today. I'll tell you what, there ain't hardly a church in this town that he wouldn't go in and kick the tables over, because they all become money changers. It's a big money thing. Money, 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 money. More money, 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 money. Money, money, money. Want more money. Want more money. You know, this preacher's looking for a job over here because it pays better, and this preacher's got his resume over here, and this one's got it over here because this one pays a little better. And this one, they're hirelings. Preachers are supposed to be spirit-led. They're supposed to be before the Lord. They're supposed to be on their face before God, asking for God to lead them and guide them. You should hear the Spirit of God expressing himself through them. Amen. Thank you all. I appreciate your time this evening. I love you. I pray and hope that I haven't offended you. I love you, and I'm trying to get you to look at the Word. Don't look at Brother Rob. Don't look at the brethren in this church. Don't look at the sisters. Don't look at anything, but just go to the Word of God. Find and fall in love with this Word, and this Word will lead you. This Word will guide you. It's all in here. You don't have to be in Christian Temple Church. It's all right here within this Word. Amen? But I'll tell you what. If you leave this church and you are sure that I'm in error and I'm of the devil, you're going to find one thing for a fact. You're going to find the judgments of this Word. Because I am a blood-bought, born-again, Holy Ghost-filled man of God.
Amen.
I've been filled with God's Spirit and I'm preaching the truth. I'm called to defend this truth. I have not violated this Word or the truth of this Word one iota tonight. And the thing is if you turn and reject this, not Brother Rob Coons, but this Word right here, then you will bring forth the judgments and the wrath of a living God on you. Amen. So, I love you. That's why I got to follow the Lord, man. I could have come here tonight and I could have taught on this or that or spoke to you about this or that. You know, I love the Word. But you know, sometimes the Word hurts. You know, when you go to a doctor and you say, hey, man, I'm really having a problem. Man, I got this infection, I got this and that, or something's wrong with me, what do you do? The doctor says, here, eat this peppermint. And you go, that tastes good, I like it. But guess what, when you leave, you're still sick. But usually when the doctor gives you something and you taste it, you don't like it. Have you ever seen a kid when they got a cold? You know, we got some young mamas in here. Here you go, here's your cough syrup. They always go, give me some more. Man, I could usually see their eyeballs rolling back in their head and their ears don't normally fold, but they usually will fold over. That's what they do. And that's usually what we do when we're sick in perverted doctrine and the great physician Jesus brings the antidote and it's the Word. You usually don't like the way it tastes. The Bible said that it's sweet to the mouth and bitter to the belly, and we can go into some doctrine on that if you wanted to and some revelation.
We hope this message has enlightened and encouraged you. If you would like to receive other messages and teachings from Brother Rob, please feel free to contact us. Our web address is christiantempleonline.org, or you may write us at Christian Temple, P.O. Box 735, High Point, North Carolina 27261. We, the brothers and sisters of Christian Temple, would like to invite you to come worship with us. Our services are at 10 a.m. on Sunday morning and 7 p.m. on Wednesday and Friday nights. We are located at 3842 Mount Gilead Church Road, Sophie, North Carolina 27350. For directions, go to christiantempleonline.org map. Thank you again for listening, and may God richly bless you.